This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If it's fall in the South and it's Saturday, it means one thing. College football.
But don't forget, man, we're going to get them on the run. We're going to go.
It's time for Saturday Football in the South.
This ball's not for the devil.
Not for these guys.
Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, and Randy McMichael.
Take you around the SEC, ACC, and all over the college football landscape.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
Are you ready? Ready for some real college football talk?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Then let's kick this off. It's college football game time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
College football game time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth alongside John Chuckery. John Fricky in this week as we are set to get you ready for this Saturday.
Bulldog Chuckery, since Randy's not here, I got the red and black I'm representing.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Sorry I missed that Bulldog. But hey, we got a lot of stuff to get to today. You can join us right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll keep you company today till 1 o'clock. Talking a lot of college football at 92.9 The Game on Twitter. This show, you can find it at 929 CFB Game Time. You can find John Chuckery at JMCH316. John Fricky is at John Fricky. You can find me at Chris Goforth 1. We've got the latest college football playoff rankings, guys. Any surprises for you guys in the way this top 25 and in particular the top 10 shook out this week?
No, because you didn't have anybody of significance lose in the top seven. So Minnesota was the only team. I know our guy Mike Conley was not happy. He's still salty that Penn State's not getting enough love over Alabama. But without anybody in the top seven losing, Chris, there's really no reason to change. I mean, you know, there wasn't any kind of like, you know, Ohio State got a scare by 1 point in overtime or, you know what I mean, something that might sway somebody. So the top seven deserve to be the top seven to me, I mean, week over week.
You mean like a gigantic injury to a star quarterback who's out for the year? You mean that kind of thing?
Yeah, but that's not – but that may affect them moving forward. But for this week's poll, it's nothing is shaken out because they still won by 5 touchdowns.
And I know you can't project. I get it. It's only based on what you've done. But you can project a little bit because it may be. By the way, good morning, guys. Good morning, Chris.
Morning.
Good morning, Bandwagon Boy. Red John, and black, huh?
Got the red and black on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you just Bulldog jump out. You'll jump out any team that's halfway good, isn't it?
Listen,
yeah,
I mean, don't be mad that Chuck Dowdle follows me on Twitter.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, John, to your point, I think Alabama's.
By the way, I only had one less completion than the quarterback in the national championship game in 1980.
Yeah, I know you did.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
What happened, Chris?
Alabama's playoff hopes, John, to your point, I think may rest on how they look next week in the Iron Bowl.
Well, that and
you have and there's other things that have to happen, right, too. But in terms of what they control,
of course,
they need to win. Yes. They're going to hammer Western Carolina today. Carolina's
what's
terrible.
The over-under on the number of touchdown passes that Nick Saban's going to have Mac Jones throw in this game? You're going to want to talk about Tua being in the late second quarter of a route. Mac Jones is going to be chucking it down the field when it's 70-3 in the fourth quarter.
But they need that.
I know.
They need that.
I think the over-under on the number of touchdown passes Mac Jones throws today is 6.5. And I might go over.
Well, Alabama doesn't control their own destiny.
Right.
All
they can do is win and win impressively.
Right. As much as any team in America, they don't control their destiny. So because of that, you know, people still sit on the sidelines and get mad because, what about – it is Alabama.
But if Alabama shows out today – and I didn't mean to jump into you, John, sorry. But if Alabama wins big today, which they will, if they go 77-3, and then they go into the Iron Bowl – we know that Auburn's beaten Oregon. They played LSU to within three. They had Georgia on the ropes last week. And now you look at what you have with Alabama-Auburn, and if it's 48-3 or something like that, and Alabama just steamrolls them, if that happens, and they still vault Oregon over Alabama and into the playoff, people are going to say, who is the chairman of the College Football Playoff Committee? Well, the chairman of the College Football Playoff Committee happens to be Rob Mullins. Mm-hmm. Who is Rob Mullins? He's the athletic director at Oregon. So the chairman of the College Football Playoff Committee is the AD at Oregon. If they leap Oregon over Alabama, if Alabama destroys Auburn, they, you know, you're going to get a lot of Alabama.
Well, as he told us, as he said about 40 times in his interview on Tuesday night, he recuses himself when that conversation.
That's
the thing. How many times did we hear that?
Yeah, good. Yeah, because that's always been the mantra of when they get those. I will disagree with one thing about what you said. Auburn was never going to win that football game on Saturday against Georgia. That score is not indicative of what that game was.
No. I wasn't indicating that. I was just trying to say, though, Auburn had a shot. They had the ball down seven and had a shot.
Okay.
I didn't say they were going to win the game. I said, but if Alabama – they were in that game at the end of the game. They were certainly in the game against LSU. They beat Oregon. If they get their doors blown off by Alabama and Oregon still leaps Alabama, there's going to be a lot of indignation, especially if LSU wins the SEC. There could be a lot of indignation in Alabama that they aren't fully of the belief that they may be the fourth best team in the nation.
I mean, obviously, and we'll break that game down next week, but Alabama does everything that Auburn doesn't do well. That secondary, I still don't understand why Georgia didn't expose that secondary more. What did we talk about last week, John, when you're on the show? Go downfield early on that team. I mean, when they've played good quarterbacks, they haven't held up. Yeah, as good as their defensive front is, Auburn's secondary doesn't hold up against the good quarterbacks. Tua, Mac Jones, I'm taking those four guys. Those four guys for Alabama would be on the field every play. If I have to go empty backfield because those four guys are on there, because Auburn won't stop those wide receivers. That's not been their forte, Chris, is that the good quarterbacks have beaten them. I don't understand why Georgia, honestly, I understand what Georgia's offense is. Their defense is so good that I don't understand why they don't take more chances on offense with Jake Fromm. But
I don't know if you guys saw Bill Connolly's article this week, his column that he put out. I guess it was Wednesday or Thursday, and he said something to the effect of, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he was going over the College Football Playoff Top 25, and he's talking about Georgia, and he said, look, I get it. They're really good, but God, I hate watching them play.
Yeah.
They are so boring. And I think what has happened is we've gotten conditioned with LSU and Ohio State, Clemson in the past, Oregon. You look at what Oklahoma has done this year with Jalen Hurts. We just got conditioned to this is what the best teams in college football look like. They look like those kind of teams that hook it around and score 50 points a game.
But how many weeks have you heard me say, Kirby Smart, John, hasn't gone through that Nick Saban transfer. You know, Nick Saban isn't Mark Barron, Marcel Darius, Mount Cody anymore. You know, he's not that kind of defensive team. He's not four deep at, you know, four deep in the eye at running back.
But isn't really the transformation where Dabo took Kelly Bryant, sat him on the bench for Trevor Lawrence, and Nick finally went through it with Jalen Hurts on the bench to Tua, and Kirby had the opportunity with Justin Fields to do that. We all know that now. We saw it then. We know it now. And he chose not to because he wants if the indictment against Jake Fromm is that he's a game manager, it's because that's the role they want him to play.
Right. I was going to say that the only thing that's not fair about that. It was obvious that Trevor Lawrence was better than Kelly Bryant. It was obvious that Tua was better than Jalen Hurts. It wasn't obvious at that time that Justin Fields was better than Jake Fromm.
And Justin Fields wasn't willing to take he didn't want to be a package quarterback.
Right.
He wanted to be the quarterback, and he wanted to play in that offense. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a guy where they were going to change the offense to fit him. He wanted to fit into that offense.
That's more my point, my point is that we haven't had an evolution at Georgia yet to that kind of offense that would allow for a quarterback like Justin Fields to have. Look, if Justin Fields had been Dane the quarterback over Jake Fromm and was starting this year with Georgia, I don't know that they'd be any higher than number four anyway.
Exactly. Like how much better could Georgia be than what they are?
Because of the fact that you're going to take Justin Fields and put him in a box.
Yeah.
You know? And so when Nick Saban made the change to Tua, he made the change to Tua and started to do things that were going to allow Tua to have success. In other words, he was going to spread that field out far more than he had in the past. Same with Dabo.
But that's my point. Kirby hasn't gone through that metamorphosis of coaching. Like I said, for Nick Saban, it's not just offense. There is no Mark Barron in the secondary. Mark Barron's as good a college safety as we see in the last 15 years, Chris, okay? Those guys don't play in college anymore.
You don't have heavy.
Yeah.
Mark Barron today is a linebacker.
Could you imagine Roy Williams of Oklahoma in today's college football world? He couldn't stay on the field. You know, but Roy Williams was a two-time first-team All-American. Mm-hmm. Those guys have to evolve and change in the game. Truthfully, Kirby hasn't been around long enough that he hasn't evolved in that mode yet.
All right, one other point about the rankings this week that I want to make, and I just want this on the record here on this show, is that I had debate after debate after debate this week with fans who don't understand, and I just want to say it again, if Minnesota ends up 12-1 and the Big Ten champion, they will be in the playoff, all right? They're going to make it.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I know, but they can't see it, and I'm going, guys.
Because that means they'll beat Wisconsin, and they'll get their shot against Ohio State.
Right.
But if Ohio State wins today over number 8 Penn State and then wins next week against number 13 Michigan, I think they go into this thing as the number 1 seed. I think they jump over LSU.
I was surprised it didn't happen this week. I thought it might.
I did too.
Here's my only other quick observation. Unless they have 2 losses, I don't see how LSU's not in the playoff.
I know, that, and that's the argument.
I don't care about Minnesota.
What do you do with a 12-1 champion against a 12-1 LSU team? My guess is Minnesota goes in only because the committee is going to say, LSU, you just lost him when you had your shot.
Chris,
that may be the wrong thing. I'm just telling you that's possibly what I say is
no matter how LSU gets to, let's say, 12-1, how do you tell them that they're the best team in the nation 7 weeks running, and then all of a sudden one loss means they're not one of the best four?
Take a look around the Southeastern Conference next. We'll talk about that Georgia-Texas A&M game coming up today at 3:30 on CBS. Top-ranked LSU going against Arkansas. The largest point spread today in SEC history. 44 points in that one. We'll get into that game as well. It's College Football Game Time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yards. They've combined to rush for 155 yards, just over 2 yards a carry.
Auburn came into that game last week running for more yards per game than what Georgia did. Auburn's one of the best running teams in America. They average, I think, what was it? Because they're going to be one of my macks of the week. 2.3 yards per attempt, Chris. 36 carries for 84 yards last week. For a team that's why Auburn's been as good as they have been at times, is they've been able to run the football now. John, honestly, nobody, including this A&M team, nobody's scoring against. Hell, Jake Fromm doesn't have to be lights out because nobody can score against Georgia.
No, and that's what's going to happen today, especially with the weather the way it is. Good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to turn into one of those games like the Kentucky game that's going to be possibly 3-0 at halftime. Yeah, the two words that will fix Georgia's offense are Mike and Bobo. If Mike Bobo leaves Colorado State, if they decide to make a change at the end of the year, I ought to hire him as offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I'm still wondering about, you know, they lost last night.
Bring him back.
They lost last night to Wyoming. He had a couple of puzzling decisions in that game.
Yeah, but he also has Colorado State talent, and he's trying to make it work in Fort Collins.
Yeah, but you know what though, Jim McElwain did a good job out there. I mean,
so did Sonny.
I mean, that's supposed to be a stepping stone job for a guy like Bobo, who everybody just automatically had in the SEC. I mean, me included.
I understand, but you know, maybe Mike Bobo is just one of those guys who, and this is the knock against Norm Chow, it's the knock against Jeremy Pruitt, why Brent Venables probably doesn't take a job. He's just a coordinator.
Right.
And if he accepts that and says, okay, forget this, I could go home. Kirby's my buddy. I mean, they're close, right? I can go home to Georgia, take over that offense. Kirby says, you got the offense. He's got a job for life, and he may win a national title.
I love Randy Mack's theory. Like, in 2 years, you're going to have Mike Bobo as your OC and Will Muschamp as your DC.
Yeah, but why do you need to change DCs at the moment?
Well, I'm just saying, because guys move on.
Yeah, guys. Georgia just
had both their coordinators leave. Yeah,
right,
I mean, so you imagine that in like 2 years if you had Mike Bobo and Will Muschamp?
Yeah.
How about that staff?
Right.
It's College Football Game Time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Elsewhere around the SEC today, LSU, Arkansas.
Why?
7 o'clock kick tonight. Why? It's a 44 point favorite. It's the largest point spread in SEC history.
That's
I agree.
You tell me a time when Arkansas, they weren't this bad in the SWAC or in the old Southwest Conference. They were this team is dreadful. Dreadful.
10 years ago or so, they were the number one team in the nation.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Darren McFadden, Felix Jones.
They were part of – there were 3 teams in that SEC West that were in the top 5.
Right.
That's the year Arkansas loses the Jim Tressel's last game in the Sugar Bowl. They had three teams in the top five. LSU, Bama, and Arkansas were all top five teams.
Well, we had Brett Bielema go in there and try and reinvent them into Wisconsin South, right? And then Bielema got wind of the fact that he was going to be let go. And this is what happened at Nebraska, too. Mike Riley quit recruiting at Nebraska. And Jimbo Fisher quit recruiting at Florida State. And Brett Bielema quit recruiting at Arkansas. Now, you say what you like about Chad Morris, but when you quit recruiting at Arkansas, that's it's one thing at Florida State and Nebraska where you have that cachet and you can go in. And when you quit recruiting at Arkansas and you got all those schools around you and you're surrounded by that, good luck.
Well, the issue there is now you've lost 17 straight SEC games. You just fired a coach not even through his second year yet.
Right.
Who wants to step into that? Because whoever the next guy is, you can't fire this guy in 2 years.
Yeah, but you know what it is? You know what it is? It's a job in the SEC, man.
That's true.
I mean, you could argue about what Arkansas is or is not. It's a job in the SEC.
And it's a no-lose job because unlike Florida State where if they don't keep Odell Higgins, which I think they ought to, but they probably won't, you're going to go in with everybody expecting that you're going to be the guy that takes Florida State right back to the top. They'll give you a year maybe. But if you go into Arkansas, you got a lot of cover because the program is in such disrepair. You can walk in and say, hey, everybody, you got to give me 3 years. You know, you can get that.
Chad Morris didn't get 3 years.
I understand that, but Chad Morris probably didn't play that right.
And listen, the reality has always been when Arkansas, you know, for some of those programs, when you've had to be bottom feeders, you got to play with the rules a little bit. You got to stretch it. I mean, Jackie Sherrill and A&M, remember, they were, you know, listen, he did some good things. What's his name? Who's the guy? Who's the guy that's the analyst now that was Arkansas head coach, took him to the SEC title game with McFadden and those guys that played Georgia's first? Houston Nutt.
Yeah.
Houston Nutt. You know, you can find a guy that'll come in and fix us. Now, listen, it's like the Butch Jones or Butch Davis thing. You might, in 4 years, you might be on NCAA probation, you know, but you can fix things at Arkansas.
Man. You can win it. Well, this has been proven you can win at Arkansas. Now, I'm not saying that you can't win at Arkansas. I'm just saying that if you're going to do it right, I don't disagree with your philosophy, John. And in this day of the transfer portal, you can get good fast, and you are in the SEC. I'm just saying, at what level do Arkansas fans expect to be? I think Florida State fans are going to expect that the new coach has them in the championship game, if not next year, certainly the year after. For Arkansas fans, are they willing to accept, say, you know, the Pinstripe Bowl or whatever, you know, for the next couple of years and being a 6-6 team.
Listen, it's a different SEC. When Houston Nutt took Arkansas to the SEC title game against Georgia, it was a different SEC West. That wasn't Nick Saban in 2001 at Alabama.
Right.
You know, that those programs weren't the same that they are now. So I get that there was an opening there, but you know, again, it's a job in the SEC. I'm more surprised, honestly, that and I know it's on our list. Derek Mason coming back to Vandy. And you kind of wonder, Chris, is Vanderbilt okay with just – I mean, it wasn't that many years ago Vanderbilt didn't even have an athletic director. Are they okay with the idea of we just kind of are what they are? Do they – it almost feels like they don't want to be looked at as just like some stepping stone job where we bring in James Franklin, he wins, and we know he's immediately going to run out of there. They almost feel like they're kind of content with the status quo because they're 2-8. And they're not good.
Yeah, but they're going to spend a whole bunch of money on a stadium now.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. I think there's a lot of money at Vanderbilt. I think a lot of it is committed to other areas, namely facility upgrades. John, you talk about upgrading the stadium. They are working on a new indoor practice facility and a football-only facility there. I think it's because they've got so much money committed in other places. I think that's the reason why they were a little hesitant to pull the trigger on Derek Mason.
Yeah, but 2-8.
Yeah, 2-8.
I mean,
and it's just no offense. They have no playmakers. Zero.
And with three NFL guys on that offense,
right,
too.
I know.
They got a running back, a wide receiver, and a tight end that'll be in the league.
Let's
talk about the other side of that up in Tennessee where you are, Chris. Jeremy Pruitt wins today, beats Vanderbilt, and suddenly they got a 5-game win streak. They're going to be a 7-win team. Does that take all the heat off him?
Yeah. They got a chance to win. They actually have a chance to finish out the season on a 6-0 run.
Tennessee going can't into win today a bowl because game. Chris had Missouri at 11-1, so they can't.
Shut up.
What? What'd I miss?
I didn't have them at 11-1.
Oh, sorry.
I said they could be a 9-win team.
I think they're 5-1 right now.
10-2.
Oh, now basketball?
No.
Yeah, oh.
No.
Tennessee, by the way, has never won in Columbia. So,
how many times have they played?
Not
three?
Often.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, but still, it counts.
Wait, wait. Columbia.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good narrative.
Columbia, South Carolina. Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah. Columbia, Missouri. All right, we'll come back. Tua Tagovailoa, he is finished, at least for this year. Is he back at Alabama next year? What's the future hold for Tua? We'll get into that next. It's College Football Game Time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Any chance at all that because of this injury he ends up back at Alabama next year?
No.
Isn't it more likely he goes to the NFL because of this injury?
No. He's not going back to Alabama. There's no chance of it.
Yeah, I don't think he goes back either. I do wonder about what effect this injury has on his draft status.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot. Would he be ready to compete in a mini camp?
No.
Next, I don't think so either.
Okay, so you're answering the questions. Will he go back to Alabama? No. Will he be ready for a minicamp? No. How does it affect his draft status? So he drops in the draft. Does he drop out of the first round? No. He's still a first-round
pick. Yeah, I don't think so either.
Okay. He is still a first-round pick because New England has already said, kind of publicly, that if Tua is sitting there when they pick in the first round, he ain't getting out of the first round. Because New England, there are teams that can take Tua Tagovailoa and park him for a year or two. New Orleans. New England. And you see what I'm saying? I mean, you don't need him. You're not going to take him if you're Miami or the Bengals or somebody needs a quarterback.
Yeah, if you got to need a quarterback right now.
Exactly. Yeah, right. I mean, heck, you could take
him. You sure Miami Dolphins wouldn't take him?
That kind of spoils the whole tank for Tua thing we kept hearing about, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, no, I don't think they would at this point. I mean, not if Chase – it depends on where they're drafting.
Well, I mean, if Miami's number one,
then Burrow is going to Miami.
One thing about this year's class – with Burrow and Fromm and Herbert, you know, there are legitimate guys to draft. It's not like Tua is going to sit there by himself as the only guy.
Of course.
You know, this is not the – what was that one year when it was Jake Locker and who was the kid out of Blaine Gabbert? You know, when that's your top guys in the first round. You know, this year you've got a lot of guys that are available to draft. So, okay, if you don't go for Tua – you know, maybe it is Justin Herbert.
Well, and that's why it was Jake Fromm who was most impacted by the Tua injury and his decision, because there was a chance, I thought, and there still is a small chance that Jake Fromm could go back for his senior season. But if his draft status went up from high second round to, say, mid to late first round, he may revisit the game. Yeah.
Changes the game. How will you guys remember Tua, the college football player? Because for me, The image that I will forever have of this guy is not going to be the injury. It's not even going to be how he played this year. Yeah,
right, it's that second to 26. Of course,
exactly.
I mean, is he the best? The argument is he the best Alabama quarterback of all time?
Yes, and the answer to that is yes too. Okay, he is. I mean, in a school that had you have to be old head to know Ken Stabler and Joe Namath,
and that's the problem. Is I don't know. I know the legacy of Stabler. I mean, because people talk about Stabler, about how great he was in college. You know, he was a running quarterback.
I never saw any of them playing college.
I thought you
either.
Covered them.
Yeah. So, and I'm going to give you an answer, because here's the yes and no's that you're asking about Tua. I have another yes that's going to surprise you. The answer is yes. Will Tua be in New York for the Heisman? My answer is yes. I think he's going to be in the top three.
I can't go there.
Yeah, I'll put it like this. I think the movement for Chase Young and him coming back to – Chase Young balls out this week against Penn State and against Michigan. I think it's going to be really hard. People are going to be really hard-pressed not to include Chase Young as one of the top three guys.
I didn't say four guys wouldn't go.
Joe Burrow is a lock.
Well, Joe Burrow is a lock. Well, he's winning.
He's the winner.
Jalen Hurts is going.
Yeah. What about Justin Fields?
No. No, Chase Young will go over Justin Fields.
I think he is looked at as the face of that Ohio State team right now.
Yeah, and for all the touchdowns of Justin Fields, he's 53rd in the nation in passing yards. 53rd in the nation in passing
yards. Yeah, we're going to talk about their what a difference a year makes in their passing offense. Not that they haven't been great, but I mean, just, you know, last year they were the number one pass offense in America with that guy that threw 50 touchdowns back.
Right,
there.
With Dwayne Haskins. Right. But I
think in some ways, John, as crazy as it sounds, the two-game suspension to Chase Young has kind of built the legacy even more of Chase Young.
If he balls out in the next two games, I agree. Yeah. But I'm telling you guys, just the way the Heisman works, you know, it's regional voting, right? And I think you're going to have a lot of people in the SEC because he was – I mean, they're going to want the image of Tua on crutches, you know, in New York, because he deserves to be there. Frankly, he deserves to be there. You cannot say that without this injury, would he be in New York? Oh, hell yes. He'd be the number two vote getter. So why are you going to take that away? The ability to go to New York and stand at that ceremony just because he got injured, that's my point. He's not going to win, but I think he should go to New York, and I think people, Heisman voters, will say that too.
I need a little bit of time to brainstorm and research this, but can you think of a quarterback that had a that became more of a household name in college football? A quarterback who put up fantastic numbers and never won the Heisman?
Great numbers.
Did Peyton win the Heisman?
No, Peyton Manning didn't win the Heisman. Peyton Manning's number one. Deshaun Watson's the. I always say the two best players for me, Chris, in college football that never won the Heisman are Tommy Frazier and Deshaun Watson. That's the two best non-Heisman Trophy winners of all time, I think. And to me, Deshaun Watson's the best college football player to not win the Heisman.
And then you have, notwithstanding the fact Tommy was a better quarterback, but that's all right.
Than Deshaun Watson?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Peyton didn't win it. So there's that's a few. True.
There's a few. There's mm-hmm. a few. There's a few. That's but a that was
job,
awfully.
That was a bad job, Chris.
Sorry.
You know, I mean, you got a guy who covered everybody over here.
I know.
Sorry.
I know. Should have known.
Yeah, known as freaky in the rest of the world.
I had press coverage. Mm-hmm. Literally, press coverage.
Should have known. I want to circle back around to something that meant to get to a few minutes ago, specific to the SEC. Coaches that have done the best job, coaches that have done the worst job in the SEC this year. I think by far and away, the best coaching job has been Ed Orgeron.
Yeah, he's the coach of the year in the SEC.
A runaway winner of it. I think Jeremy Pruitt.
He'd be unanimous, wouldn't he? Like, who would you take over Ed Orgeron?
There's nobody. There's nobody. I mean, he's a runaway guy for it. If Jeremy Pruitt can win his final two, then maybe he finishes a distant second, but it's a distant second. Worst job?
I got to tell you, I think when you talk about the best job, I want to give a little shout-out to what Gus Malzahn's done. He's had to put up with a whole bunch of crap, you know, in terms of fire Gus, blah, 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 blah. And he's played this arguably one of the most difficult schedules I've ever
maybe the
seen
toughest
in the history of college football.
Yeah.
And he's acquitted himself. Even though they have three losses, those are three hard-fought losses. They may end up with the best 8-4 season in the history of college football. I mean, so I just wanted to give him a little shout-out.
But you know what, though? You hear me say this every week, guys. Oregon's going to kick itself for losing to Auburn in that week one.
Oh, yeah.
They should not have lost that game. And you know, we say about an early loss, you can overcome things. They're going to kick themselves at the end because there's no doubt if they ran the table, and they're good enough to obviously – listen, there's no reason they can't be 12-1. But they put themselves by losing that week one game to, with all due respect, a team that they should have beaten, to lose that kind of game. They put themselves on the outside looking in because of that, which they would have easily controlled their own destiny
running undefeated. They'd be number three this week.
They'd be three at worst. I mean, probably even over Clemson. You're right. I mean, so – they're going to kick themselves for losing that game at the beginning of the year. And, again, I still say that game wasn't as much about Auburn as about what Oregon didn't do in that game. So I understand what you're saying, John. I don't think Auburn's that good of a football team. They have a great defensive front. I don't think they're – again, they're another team that's – I don't know. I look at them and I say they weren't going to score against Georgia last week. They weren't going to do anything against them. What are they going to do against Alabama? I mean, again, I don't care who's quarterback.
You bring
Richard Todd back
Alabama's
for this
defense
game,
is not Georgia's
and I'm
either.
Gonna put those four wide receivers
you're
out there
move the ball
on Auburn and let Richard Todd huck it around out there.
We've got a top 10 matchup coming up at noon today. 8th-ranked Penn State is in Columbus, Ohio, to take on number 2 Ohio State. We'll get to that one, as well as a look around the nation. That's next. It's College Football Game Time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.